All right, I am trying to figure out what to do here. I have been asked by several folks. Several folks have asked me since I walked in the building, where did I get that where I was explaining to you about how the Lord brought the saints out? I mentioned that this morning in the message, and it evidently blew a lot of folks away. And I've taught that before here through the years. So let me take a minute and just do that, all right? Go to Matthew 27 for just a moment. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and I want to read you a few verses. Let's begin, please, at verse 50. Verse 50. All right, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 50. And the Bible here says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So in other words, he died when he was on the cross, and it was all done. He yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, and behold, when he died, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. They tore from the earth. Verse 52, and the graves were opened. All right, now think, all right? And the graves were opened. So this is where we get the understanding that the Lord Jesus went down into the realm of the dead, to Hades, and specifically to the place that is called in the Bible Abraham's bosom, or paradise. And when he went down there, he brought those souls from there to the earth. He brought them up after he went down and shared the gospel with them. All right, so verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, you say, oh, so some of them didn't? Exactly. Many did, but some of them did not. Why? Well, you remember, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Remember that? All right, so the Old Testament people, if they believed in the Lord, if they believed in God, then they would have brought their sacrifices, and they would have offered their sacrifices under the law of Moses. And of course, you remember that back before the flood, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the Bible tells us that God took skins, and so God made the sacrifice for them in the garden. He shed the blood of a lamb for Adam and a lamb for Eve, and then used the pelts, the skin, to make a covering for them, and then offered that as a sacrifice for their sin. But so all the folks that believed God and who had their sin atoned for by blood, the blood of a lamb, those folks are the ones who came out of Abraham's bosom. They came out of their graves. And so it says in verse 52, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, if you did not believe and your sins were not under the blood of a lamb, then you did not get a resurrection right there. You stayed in the place where you were, and that place where you were was hell. All right, look at verse 53. And so it says, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. And he, and then they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, that's amazing to me. That's just absolutely amazing. Can you just imagine your deceased loved ones now back, and you're looking at them? No doubt they would come and say hello, don't you think? All right, I would have been running the other direction as fast as my little old legs would carry my little fat body, I can tell you that. But these appeared, look at verse 53, unto many. Now, how would those folks have explained that? How would those folks have explained that? Anybody? I mean, just think about it. And it says that they appeared unto many. All right, now take your Bible and go over to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. The book of Ephesians. And look, please, if you will, at chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And the Bible here says let's begin in verse 1, where verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. All right? Forbearing one another in love. Now watch the rest of it. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, folks, that means there's some birds you just cannot keep the peace with. All right? Sorry to have to say that, but nonetheless, it is true. All right? So, endeavoring, you do your best to keep peace with your brethren, but, you know, sometimes it's just hard to do. Then in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and that's not water baptism, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. All right? All right? So, you know, Ephesians was in southern Turkey, all right? Don't forget that. All right, look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given what? Grace. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Now watch this carefully. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. All right, so when he ascended up on high, what's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about when Jesus in Acts chapter 1 went to the Mount of Olives and when he ascended back up to heaven. And when he did, look at what it says. He led captivity captive. And the King James translators have a little three before the word captivity, and they then say, or a multitude of captives. So when he ascended back to the Father in heaven, when he went back to heaven from the Mount of Olives, he led a multitude of captives. Now, why were they captives? Well, because they were captive in the realm of the dead. They were captive, held in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, which is not heaven. Heaven is always up. And if you'll notice here, it says that he went down. In verse 9, it says he ascended, but what is it that he also descended? What's the next word?
First.
So before he went back to the Father, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. So that's where Abraham's bosom was located. And look at me now. Nobody is in Abraham's bosom today. Amen. Nobody. But it had many in it, we're told. Many. Many were seen. All right? Many graves were opened. So it had many of the Old Testament saints that were in that place, that Abraham's bosom or paradise. Okay? So when he, verse 9 says that when he ascended, first, you got to know, he descended. And he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, that's what I was telling you about this morning. Just imagine a big plate. And that is Hades. And that word means the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead. And in Hades, there were all of these compartments or sections, if you will. What was there was Abraham's bosom, and that's where the Old Testament believers went when they died. Okay? And then also there was this place called Tartarus. And that was a place where God sent some, not all, but some of the fallen angels, the angels that sinned with the devil. And he sent them into that place. Now, why did he do that? Well, because he didn't want all of them roaming around. That's why. I mean, my goodness, look at the mess they've made, just the ones that are free. Okay, so you can imagine if all of them, one-third of heaven's angels fell, remember. That's a lot of angels. And some of them were bound and cast into this place called Tartarus in the Bible. And so, let's see, where is that? That's in Peter somewhere. Let me see if I can find it real fast. I think it's in 1 Peter. I should have prepared for this, shouldn't I? Yeah. Oh, you be quiet. I'll forgive you. You be quiet. You can't even read. What are you talking about?
God forgave you. We will too.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see. I don't see it right off, and I thought I would just flip over and see it. But Peter talked about this place where the angels were kept, and they were bound. They are bound. They cannot get out. All right. Let's see. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, I think. Verse number 6. Yes, there it is. All right. Let's start in verse 4. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Is everybody there? I'll wait on you. All right, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that word hell right there is the word Tartarus. All right? And that is a place within the realm of the dead. And they were bound there. They are held there. Look at it. It says in verse 4, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, what's it mean to be reserved unto judgment? Well, if you go into the book of the Revelation and look during the tribulation period, you're going to see that God goes down and unlocks this and lets those demons out, and they roam all over the earth torturing mankind. But right now they are bound. All right? They are bound. And so that's another place, that Tartarus. Another place within the realm of the dead is hell itself. Hell itself. That's the place the Lord Jesus said burns with fire and brimstone. And then all the unsaved people from Old Testament days all the way to now, when they die, they go to this awful place called hell. And it is also in this realm of the dead. Whenever God talks about heaven, he always talks about up. When he talks about hell in the Bible, he always talks about down. And so in this realm of the dead, there is also this place called hell where the unsaved go. All right, then another place in the realm of the dead is discovered in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. So go over there for just a moment, last book of the Bible, and look, please, at chapter 20. Revelation 20, and let's begin reading in verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, my personal feeling on that first books are these 66 books. That's my opinion. All right. Now, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. But that's my opinion. I think the books are open because this book full of 66 books explains to man how we can be rightly related to God Almighty. Okay? And so God, I think, is going to open the books. And he's going to look at unsaved man, and he's going to say, why didn't you trust my son? Why didn't you believe in my son, the Lord Jesus? I joined the church. No, my book very clearly said, and I'll read it to you, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Amen. All right, so whatever excuse you want to give to God for not receiving Christ as your Savior, He's going to take the books that are all in this book, and he's going to call you out on it and show you that you're wrong. You're wrong. You should have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I saw the books, and they were open. And another book was open. Now, which one's this? Well, John explained. He said, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I believe with all my heart, folks, listen carefully to this. I believe with all my heart that every person born on this planet has their name in the book of life. And if you reject Christ as your Savior, and God knows, of course, He knows the beginning from the end, but when you reject Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out. Now, some of the Arminians and the Charismatics, they have decided to create a doctrine on that called you can lose your salvation. No, you can't. Your salvation is eternal life. And you were given that eternal life the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. You know the verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." Amen. So, if you are saved, the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were given everlasting life. Amen. And I got saved in October of 1970. All right, so here's October 1970 right here. And that's the day I got saved. All right, go all the way over here now to September 2020. Now, folks, if my salvation was everlasting when He gave it to me in October of 1970, that means that it is still lasting in September of 2020. Amen. And as long as eternity rolls, my salvation is going to be eternal. It's eternal life. All right? When I got saved, when you got saved, you and I made an everlasting covenant with God. All right? Go back to Hebrews for just a moment, chapter 13, and I'll show you that. Hebrews 11, 13 and verse, let's start in verse 20, all right? Verse 20. All right, look at it. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the," what? Everlasting covenant. So when you got saved, you made a covenant with God. And God made a covenant with you. He said, you said, "Lord, I'm going to trust you." And He said, "Good, I'll give you eternal life. Because without me, you cannot have it." And so you said, "Well, Lord, I want it." So you trusted Him, and He gave you, He made an everlasting covenant with you. And that covenant, if it was everlasting on the day you got saved, it is still lasting today. That's the nature of something being everlasting. Nod your head. You with me on that? All right, good. All right, so back now to Ephesians. So what we've got here, folks, we've got a salvation that is eternal. We've got a salvation that's never going to fade away. It is never, you're never going to lose it. You can't lose eternal life. You can't lose it. It's impossible for you to lose it. It's an everlasting covenant, and God is not about to break that covenant regardless. There's no sin that can break it. There's no devil that can break it. There's no doctrine that can break it. There's no church that can break it. There's no preacher that can break it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Amen. So, man, throw your head up in the air, shout, praise the Lord, and just be thankful that you've got an everlasting salvation that you did not have to do anything to acquire except believe the Word of God. Man. All right, so back now in Ephesians. So the Lord went down and he got those in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, and he brought them out. All right. And when he went back to heaven, look at verse 10. It says, he that descended is the same that ascended up far above the heavens, that he, Christ, might fill all things, or fulfill all things, if you will. All right. So fulfill all things. And then in verse 11, it says that when he went back to heaven, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit came 10 days later upon them in the upper room at Pentecost. And when the Spirit came, verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That means the maturing of the faith. All right? Miss Helen asked me, she said, how'd you get all that? How do you get all that? Well, here's how I get it. Number one, 42 years of studying the Bible. That's one way. Another way is cramming four years into five in college. And then 3 years getting my master's and 2 years getting my doctorate. So I've spent a lot of time in school. That's the point there. And then just reading the Bible and comparing scripture with scripture. And running the cross references that are in the center column of my Bible. And you read all these, it sends you to that verse, and then over to that verse. And then you see the big picture and what God has miraculously done for us when he provided us this salvation that we have. So that's how you get it, folks. All right? Now we end up now back here in 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter and where we were this morning. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 18 it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, he was just. For the unjust, that's us. So the just, Jesus, suffered for the unjust, for us. Why? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, or raised by the Spirit, if you will. Made alive by the Spirit. Verse 19, watch. By which also, so when he came out of the, when he was resurrected, when he came, when he was made alive after he died on the cross, when he was made alive, verse 19 says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now remember, they were in captivity, Paul said in the book of Ephesians. But now Peter here uses the same language and says that their spirits, their souls, were in prison. Where? In Abraham's bosom. You say, well, Pastor, why were they there? Why did they have to go there? I thought when you died, you went to heaven. Today, you do. Since the resurrection, you do. Okay? I mean, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. I cannot tell you the number of people that that I have stood at the side of their bed in the hospital or in the hospital bed in their home. I cannot tell you how many people I have watched go out into eternity. And I'm talking about church members. I'm talking about people that I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I knew they were saved. And John Wesley was absolutely right when he said to his congregation, our people die differently than the world. And we do, folks. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen a person take their last breath, their eyes open, and they're looking right through you, and they smile from ear to ear. Now, you only smile from ear to ear when you see something that you like. So what do you think they were seeing? They're seeing those two angels come to carry them to heaven. They're seeing the angels of the Lord taking them across Jordan over to the other side. And I've seen that many, many times. I've seen a couple of folks reach out for them. Literally raise their hands, reaching for them. And then I've seen a couple old buzzards die. Unsaved, mean as a snake people. And I've seen them. I saw one man get as far back in that bed as he could get. He had cancer. He was dying from cancer, and he was about that thick right there. I mean, that cancer had eaten him down to nothing, and he took those bony little legs and he pulled them up underneath him and took the cover and put it over his head like this and died right there. What'd he see? I'm telling you, what he saw scared him to death. It scared him to death. And folks, I don't know what it was he saw, but it didn't make him smile. No, sir. And so we need to realize that this is all real, folks. Now, if we could take the scales off of our eyes, it would shock the daylights out of us for what's going on just right above our heads. It would just shock the daylights out of us. Somebody said, Pastor, did you notice that this baby started crying this morning exactly at the spot that you would have expected a baby to cry? I know. It never fails. It never fails. It's like the devil is, or one of his demons is just sitting around here knowing where my sermon is going and thinks, okay, right now, and pinches that little baby, and all of a sudden a squall goes out all over the building and nobody's ever heard a baby cry before. Evidently, because everybody goes and looks. And when you turn and look away from me, well, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You see what I'm talking about, folks? And he says, He says here that by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So he went down into paradise and got those folks and brought them out.
Amen.
And so it's not just one time, but it's several times in the Bible we are confronted with the fact that this actually happened. All right? And these are the verses that show it. Let me show you one more aspect of this. Go to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I tell you, it's absolutely amazing how quickly the time passes. All right, I want you to look for a moment. Look at verse 1, Ephesians 1. Let's start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace. There's the Siamese twins of salvation, grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch very carefully here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now you will notice that that little word places is in italics. And the reason that it is to help us. It was placed there by the King James translators to make a complete English sentence. Okay? And so what is Paul saying here? Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies. All right, so what are the heavenlies? It's anything above your head. All right? It's anything above your head. Now, go over to the sixth chapter for just a moment. Go over to the sixth chapter for just 1 minute. I'm going to close here in a minute, but let me show you this. All right, look at verse 10 of chapter 6. The Bible here says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." All right, now, in the first chapter, in verse 3, we learn that God blesses us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. In other words, God sends his ministering spirits, his angels, to watch over us and to bless us, encourage us. God blesses us in the heavenlies, above our heads, all right? In the air. He's in the air. Those blessings are in the air. Now, in the sixth chapter, read verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So our battle, if you will, spiritual battle, is not with people, with flesh and blood, but it is against principalities, and it is against powers, and it is against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and it is against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, high places. Same word, exact same word. in verse 12 of chapter 6, speaking about the devil and his demons, and the first chapter, verse 3, where Paul was speaking of spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Exact same word. So what does that mean? Well, that's what I was saying a moment ago. If I could take away the veil that is over your eyes so that you could see the struggle between the devil and God, between the angels of the Lord and the demons of Satan. If you could see the conflict that is raging just above our heads, then you would never go another day without reading your Bible or praying, I guarantee you. If we could just see what the devil is trying to do to us and the conflict that's going on. So here's this battle going on over our heads. And folks, listen, you cannot fight a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons. It's that simple. All right? And so here, this is your weapon. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is your weapon right here. The better of a relationship that you have on a daily basis with this book, the better your Christian life is going to be. Amen. It's just that simple. Just that simple. So I hope that helps you and gives you a little bit better of an understanding of what the Lord Jesus did for us. Yes, he died so that we could go to heaven. But man, all this other stuff he did. And it's amazing what he did for us. Just keeping the devil at bay. No matter how hard the devil tries, folks, he just can't win against God. So let's just remember that. Dr. Hudson used to talk about all the time that we're on the winning side. And the reason that he did is because we're on the winning side. I've said this to you dozens and dozens and dozens of times in 25 years. But over here, we've read the back of the book. And we win. And so, you know, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And you ought to be excited about that. Hey, folks, as I said this morning, Jesus is coming again. All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all these wonderful promises you give us in your word. Thank you, Father, that we can compare Scripture with Scripture. And the very best commentary on the Scripture is the Scriptures. And so, Lord, help us to get a hunger and a thirsting for the Word of God and for the things of God. And Father, I pray that we will go home and read and reread and think about all these verses and help us, Lord, to put them in the right perspective and to realize what the Lord Jesus did for us when he came here 2,000 years ago. Father, we're thankful for the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sin, the suffering that he endured, the pain, the humiliation. It was all to pay the price that we owe for sin. He shed his precious blood as an atonement to take away our sin. And now, Father, we learn tonight that, man, he did a lot of other things. He took all those Old Testament saints and brought them out because now his blood could cover and take away their sin as well. His blood could make them whiter than snow. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament, is not possible that that blood could take away sin. But the blood of the Lamb, your Lamb, could take away our sin. When John the Baptist saw him down at the Jordan River, he pointed his finger and shouted, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so, Father, we are so thankful for what Jesus did. We're going to see all those Old Testament saints in heaven when we get there. We're going to see Noah and Abraham. And we're going to see Jacob and Isaac. And we're going to see Joseph and David and Samuel, all these great characters that we read about in our Bible. And we're going to be able to sit down and just talk with them. What a blessing that's going to be. And so, Father, I ask you now to just put this in our hearts and help us never to forget what we have learned tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.